I appreciate it, David, and good morning to everyone. Again, my name is Jerry Allison. I'm a CPA with Traders Accounting and the full-time accountants at that location. Today's presentation is going to be considered or called Trading in 2023. It's tax strategies for you. As David said, this is kind of off topic, but it is a necessary topic. I was listening to the last presenter talk about the different options and forecasting and things like that. And one of the issues that traders have is they focus on making money, and that's exactly what you should be doing. I mean, I'm not going to belittle that, but you also have to keep it focus on keeping it in, not letting it go out the door, if you will, because you can run yourself into a whole lot of problems if you do that. So, what we're going to do is look at different tax strategies that traders can use. Now, Traders Accounting, just to give you a brief overview, we are a full service accounting firm. We do bookkeeping, we do tax services, and we do consulting for traders such as yourself. And so we do just a little bit of everything, and we can certainly probably help you with what you need. And so we're going to look through all this. Now, before I get going too seriously in this, I do have to put out a disclaimer. And to the best of our knowledge, the information given in this presentation is accurate as of today. I did go through this yesterday just to make sure everything was okay. And taxes do change. We haven't had a lot of changes in the tax code in the last year or so, maybe 2 years. There are some things that are expiring. There's nothing been passed by Congress, but there are some things that are expiring or phasing out, like bonus depreciation and things like that. So a few things that are changing as of 2023. So changes, these tax changes do happen. And so it's good that if you're going to use this information, make sure you talk to a professional before doing anything. And I really emphasize that because part of my job, unfortunately, is cleaning up messes. Sometimes people do things without talking to a professional, and then some of us have to go in and clean it up. So really, it really does take, it's well worth sitting down and talking to somebody first. This presentation does not establish a professional or confidential relationship between you, me, or Traders Accounting. And Traders Accounting is not a law firm, so we're not going to be talking law per se, but we will only be talking about tax information. So nothing here is construed as legal advice. Now, some contact information here about Traders Accounting. We do have a web link there, and I'm going to try to put that into the link or into the chat here real quick. Excuse me if I can do that. I'm having all kinds of problems with that. Just a second. Okay. Anyway, I'll come back to that. And I'll put it in at the end. Now you can click on this link when we get done. And it will take you to our website, and you can download a free ebook. And it's going to talk a lot about the topics that I'm going to talk about today. It does go into in depth and a few more things, but I would recommend it. It's free. There's no obligation to it. You can download it to your computer. Our phone number is 800-938-9513. If you'd like to call us and set up a consultation, or if you need taxes done, or if you want to set up an entity, which we'll talk about here in a few minutes. And of course, our email is learn@tradersaccounting.com. All right, and again, I'll put this up towards the end of the session here. All right, let's start off ground zero. Let's talk about basic information. Basic information, we're going to actually treat this like business 101. And I'm going to go through this whole session. I did get this. Matter of fact, I got the chat open, so I'm going to send that link to everybody right now. We're going to treat this like kind of like a college class. I was a college teacher at one point, and it was very important for a lot of students. I helped them a lot. So we're going to kind of treat this like that because there's some serious things that we got to get the basics on. And one of the things is if you're serious about trading, then you need to treat it like a business. Now, why do you need to do that? Why not just trade? Well, if you're just haphazardly doing trading and just trying to make some money, that's great. Not a problem. But if you're going to be serious about this and you want to keep money from going out and leaving you unnecessarily, then you need to actually think about this. And some of the things that need to be really concerned about is you need to be concerned about cash flow. Now, cash flow, everybody is concerned about cash coming in. We want cash coming in. We always want that cash coming in. But you also have to be concerned with it leaving. I know a guy, I've done his taxes for years. Matter of fact, 30 something years now. And he brings in millions of dollars every year. He's not a trader. It's a different type of business. And you would think, okay, well, he's making a lot of money. No, because he doesn't pay attention to what's going out. And so his business is leaking money. And there's lots of ways to leak money. It's expenses, that things that you don't need. It's taxes, unnecessary taxes, quite frankly. There's a lot of ways for that money to escape. And so instead of spending it, say, on a vacation or a cruise, it's something that you'd like to do, it's actually leaving you in very bad ways. So we need to be concerned about cash flow. A second trap that people fall into is not making decisions based on their business needs. When you're looking at trading and you're setting up and you're thinking about this as a business, what you need, for certainly you need a computer, you need internet access, software. In a lot of cases, sometimes modeling software or some of the stuff that you've seen in the sessions here. It's very important stuff that helps you to make money. But whatever you get for your business needs to help you make money. Don't make it on the tax code. Let me give you an example. Several years ago, in fact, it's been about 20 years ago, I had a guy I was doing bookkeeping for. And he, in December, said, I want to go out. He was an automobile mechanic. And he said, I want to go out and I want to buy this tire machine. It's $20,000. I said, okay. He said, because the reason for it is I want to get a tax deduction. I said, okay, well, we calculate it real quick. We figured out, okay, he's going to spend $20,000 and he's going to get $6,000 back as far as a refund. Okay, fine. And then I asked him, I said, how often are you going to use this tire machine? Oh, maybe once or twice a year. And that's where the problem started. He's going to spend $20,000 to save $6,000 and not get the tire machine to pay for it itself. Anytime you make a business purchase, whether it's a computer, it's software, it's internet, whatever it is, it needs to pay for itself. And this is why I call this business 101, because you really have to really understand what's going on and only get the stuff, make the expenses that you have to make. So what we're going to do in this presentation, here's kind of an overview here. We're going to get you to be aware of your tax and your protection options. And this is going to dovetail mostly with taxes, but in a lot of ways, it's also going to cover some other areas here. And so I want you to be aware of all these things. So the first thing we're going to talk about, what's called trader tax status. Some of you may have already heard about that. We will talk about that. That allows you to write off expenses and save money in taxes, whatever your tax bracket is. Then we're going to talk about entities. Entities can be a big, big part of helping preserve your capital, preserve your trading assets, protect them legally, and also give you some deductions that you may not have gotten otherwise. And then finally, we're going to talk about the mark-to-market election. And this is only for stocks and options traders. For a Forex trader, this would not work, or futures trader, whatever. But I believe most of you are probably options traders or at least dabbling in that area. So let's go ahead and talk about these three things. Now, first of all, let's talk about trader tax status, or for short, TTS. This is actually a tax choice that allows any entity to deduct trading expenses, assuming that you meet the criteria. Now, what are the criteria? Because when I say it's a choice, you just do it on the tax return. You don't have to notify the IRS. The return actually notifies them, but you just do it if you meet the criteria. Now, this is where we get into a bit of a gray area. Our go-to for taxes, as far as investors and traders, is Publication 550. And I would recommend that if you want to read about how the tax code handles any type of investing, go to the IRS website and download Publication 550. You can get in a PDF format. You can download it to your computer. I have it downloaded to my computer and refer to it quite often. It is the go-to publication for investing as far as the IRS. Now, when you look at the criteria in Publication 550, it's extremely general. But and you'll see that basically you have to treat the trading seriously, and you have to treat it like a business. Going back to business 101 again, this is one of the reasons I led off with keeping or trying to have that mindset of running the trading like a business. So Publication 550 gives general criteria. I'm not going to go through them because they're so vague, it's pathetic. So what we have to do is we have to rely upon court cases. And so there are a few court cases out there that have established the criteria. And there's actually three of them. The first one is you should be making 720 trades in a year. Now, that's not some, for some people, that's a lot. For some people, that's nothing. Some people get that in a week or even a month. So that's up to you. Now, that is over everything. So if you trade a lot of different stuff, you trade crypto, you trade Forex, you trade futures, and you trade options and stocks, all of that together, that's your 700, that qualifies for the 720 trades. So you're good if you can get above that threshold. So that's the first one. And by the way, all three of these have to be met, not just any one of them. Number two, there is trading in over 75% of the trading days per year. This gets to the real seriousness of having a trading business. Because if you were running a regular business, you would not take long vacations. You would be actually there running the business, whether it's a restaurant or an automobile repair shop or whatever, you would be there running the business. And so you wouldn't take a lot of vacation time because you need to be at the business or it's going to die. Well, the courts in this case want the same standard from a trader, and they want you trading in over three quarters of the trading days per year. Now, that's about 188 or 189 days out of the year. Now, if you fall short by a day or so, I wouldn't worry about it. But most people, if they're trading seriously, they're doing more than that. And number three, there's over 500 hours in trading research and education. So whatever you do, I mean, for example, sitting here in these sessions, learning about trading, hearing me talk about taxes, things like that, that would qualify for the hours there. Now, the question arises, how do you prove this? Well, the first two, your brokerage statements prove that. You can just hand the IRS examiner your brokerage state, your monthly statements and your year-end statement, let them count up the trades and let them see what the dates are. They can see that it's over 75% of the trading days per year. The last one's not so easy. And so what we recommend to our clients is that you keep some type of a logbook of what you're doing. Now, the first question I get when I say that is there some type of format or something? And the answer is no. You can do this in a spreadsheet. You can do it in a database if you like those. You can do it on paper and pencil. The idea here is putting in some type of an effort to record the time that you're putting in. And so that if somebody ever comes in, you can always just pull out the information and hand it to them. So those are the three criteria. Now, what this allows you to do, as I mentioned, is it allows you to deduct trading expenses on your personal tax return. And so those expenses may depend upon your current tax bracket, how much you save. So if you're in the 37% tax bracket, you're going to save more than if you're in the 21% tax bracket. So that's important to note. Now, let's talk about expenses for a second. Under trader tax status, what expenses can you deduct? Well, the transaction commissions, when you make a trade, usually those are embedded in the trade, so they're automatically. But if you have special commissions, if you've got data feeds, if you've got subscriptions to software or charting services or things like that, your computer, your office furniture, if you go somewhere for education, the travel expense, the fee to get into a place, all of that stuff, if it's related to trading, it helps you trade better, more than likely you're going to be able to deduct it. So books and magazines, things like that, chat rooms where you've got a fee to get in. So we can find there's a lot of deductions that traders can have. And my supposition is that traders have a lot more deductions than what they even realize. So that sounds great. So you want to be able, if you meet the criteria, you can go ahead and you can start deducting those expenses and start saving money on your taxes. However, there's a warning here. As with anything with the IRS, you have to be careful. So first thing, you got to meet those criteria. But if you are an individual trader, if you're a person who's deducting trading expenses on the personal return, you have to use a Schedule C. Now, the Schedule C on your personal return is really considered a small business form. And so if you have like a family business or a hobby business or something like that, you would use a Schedule C to list your income and also list all your expenses there. And it's kind of like if you're familiar with accounting, a mini income statement is really what it is. However, the Schedule C is a problem, not because of trading necessarily, but because of the Schedule C. And one of the problems is your audit risk is increased. Now, why is that? Schedule Cs have been around for decades, and people have abused them for decades. People have used the Schedule C to write off everything, hobby expenses, unrelated expenses to a business, just anything. And so if you file a return with a Schedule C on it, you raise the possibility of being audited. Now, I'm not saying you're guaranteed to be audited, but I'm just saying you raise the possibility of being audited. And so that becomes a problem. Number two, the home office deduction may not be obtainable. When you use a Schedule C, there are special rules that go along with the home office deduction. Now, let me talk about this. Generally speaking, in order to take the home office deduction on the Schedule C, you have to be showing a profit. Now, let's think about different businesses, another business other than trading, because trading is very unique. But under the business, you would list your revenue at the top and you list all your expenses. And if you've got a profit, then you could deduct a percentage of your home mortgage interest or rent, property taxes, percentage of your insurance, percentage of your utilities, including cell phone and internet, percentage of HOA dues, repairs and maintenance, anything that goes into that living, we can write off a percentage of it. However, when you are losing money, when you don't have a profit, then that gets very, very limited. Now, I'm going to get into a little bit of tax jargon here. When you file a Schedule C, your trading income does not go on the Schedule C. It goes on other forms, D or 4797, things like that. We don't worry about that. It's not on the Schedule C. And so the only thing on the Schedule C are expenses, which means you're showing a loss. Now, I realize that the profit is elsewhere, and technically you may have a gain for the, but that Schedule C is showing a loss. And so you may only be limited to home mortgage interest and real estate taxes, things like that. So there's all kinds of things going on here that there's limits. And you have to file a separate form for the home office deduction. It's an 8829. And you'll see on there, if you look through the form, where it starts to limit things. So it's a problem. So that's a problem. Number three, there may be no asset protection. If you just trade as an individual, for example, you know, you've got, let's say, $100,000 sitting out there, you're trading, it's all yours, and you don't have that in an LLC anywhere, you don't have any protection for it. So, for example, if somebody comes on your property and gets hurt and sues you and goes beyond your insurance policy, now you've opened everything up to your trading assets. Or you've got rental real estate that you own personally, renter sues, again, there's a potential of going beyond the insurance into those trading assets. So there are legal issues there that could arise. Finally, if you try to trade on a tax return, your personal tax return, and you have a W-2 job, the IRS has a problem with that. Now, I don't know why, but they do. And so that kind of raises the scrutiny a little bit as well. So these are four problems that you have in trader tax status. Now, am I saying not to do trader tax status? No, not at all. If you want to do it on your personal return and you're willing to take the risk, great. And we do a lot of clients, their returns that do this. That's not a problem. However, I do have a solution for, and that leads into our second topic, entities. Entities are basically creations, legal creations that are like people, if you will. They file their own tax returns, things like that. And this will relieve a lot of those headaches that I just talked about. Now, this can get mind-blowing. There's several different types of entities. There's a sole proprietorship, single member LLC, a general partnership, limited partnership, multi-member LLC, S corporation, LLC S corporation, C corporation, and LLC C corporation. That's a lot. We're going to narrow it down. First of all, let's knock the first two out. Sole proprietorship and the single member LLC don't do much for a trader. Now, remember in the last slide, I was talking about putting the trading information, or at least the expenses, on the Schedule C of your tax return. That's what a sole proprietorship is. We really don't want that, because the Schedule C raises the scrutiny. A single member LLC puts it right back on that Schedule C again. It really doesn't change anything as far as filing. The only thing a single member LLC does is it gives some asset protection, and that's it. Now, if that's something you want to do, that's fine. So I would think about that. Now, we're also going to knock out anything that does not have an LLC behind it. So that's going to limit us to an LLC partnership, an LLC S corporation, or an LLC C corporation. So the entity that's right for you depends upon your situation. And I cannot emphasize this enough. This is one place that I was mentioning a little while ago that you really need to talk to somebody before you go setting up an LLC, because we have clients all the time that just go off on their own and they set them up and they do their own thing. And then they come back later and say, oh, I messed that up. Oh, we need to change this. And now we go back and redo everything. And there are ways to do it. So again, if you don't have to talk to us, talk to somebody though, that knows what they're doing in this area, because it's very, very important. So really what we're going to do is we're going to talk about LLCs. Now, we recommend, first of all, a multi-member LLC, basically an LLC partnership. The second tier is then LLC S corporation. And then rarely do we talk about an LLC C corporation. Now, let me kind of pause here to explain why an LLC. Why am I hung up on the LLC thing? One of the reasons for being hung up on the LLC is that with an LLC, you can choose how you're going to be taxed. So for example, we'll just take an example here. Let's suppose we form a partnership, an LLC partnership. And later on, let's say tax laws change, we can choose, let's say 2 years down the road then, to convert that to an S corp. Now that doesn't do anything at the state level, it's still an LLC, but we can choose to be taxed as an S corp. Then let's say a couple years down the road, we don't like that, or tax laws change again, we can convert to a C corp. And then later we can convert back to a partnership, or however, any combination of that. Now, I wouldn't do this every year, but the idea is LLCs give you flexibility on changing how you're being taxed with the IRS. And that means a whole lot when tax laws start changing. So it gives you kind of an insurance policy. Let's talk about the multi-member LLC. Why a multi-member LLC? Well, it's the simplest of all forms, but let me talk about the cons first. And if you ever call up and you get a consult with me, I will be open and honest with you. I will tell you the negative stuff and I will tell you the positive stuff. And certainly I'm going to start with the negative stuff here. What are the cons of having a multi-member LLC partnership? You do have in a lot of states, you have a yearly multi-membership. You have an LLC fee, and you got that with a single member as well, by the way. And usually an S corp and a C corp. Every year you've got to pay a licensing fee to the state. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, but in some states it's $25. There's California's $800 a year. I mean, it can be quite extensive. Some states, once you do the initial setup, you don't ever have to pay again. You just have to file the form. So it depends on the state you live. You will have a tax prep fee. And that's also true, not of partnership here, but also of an S corp and a C corp. So you do have that extra expense. That could be $500, $600, could be $1,000, depending on. And you may have increased broker fees. Now, anytime you set up a business, so whether it's a single member LLC, multi-member LLC, S corp, C corp, and you start trading, you've got to have trading accounts underneath that business, and that's done. You have to set up brand new accounts, business accounts. The brokers will not just change it over from your social security number to the EIN of the business. They won't do that. Matter of fact, there's IRS prohibits the IRS prohibits that because of taxing and accounting and certain things like that. So you have to set up new accounts and then transfer cash over. Okay, so you do have some increased broker fees for whatever reason. The brokers think if you've set up a business and you got tons of money sitting. Now there's ways around that. Matter of fact, I have some representatives, agents for the brokers that are telling my clients, they say, well, keep your personal account going and use all the free stuff on the personal side, but do the trading on the business side. And that gets around some of the brokerage fees. Not all of them, but those are the cons. So let's look at the pros now. First of all, you do get asset protection. And this varies by state. So this I can't give you a lot of legal advice here, or none of this is really legal advice, but I can't give you anything definitive because every state has different LLC laws and the asset protection. But theoretically, if something happens out the LLC to you personally and you get sued, it generally can't back into the LLC. So your trade it secures your trading assets and really helps there. Number two, you have a choice in taxation methods, as I mentioned a little while ago. So if it's better to be treated as an S corporation a few years from now, that's fine. Now, let me pause here because this is an important consideration of something. Generally, we start our clients off as a multi-member LLC partnership. And some of you are asking, well, I'm a single person. I don't have anybody else. How can I form a multi-member LLC partnership? It can be done. And we'll talk about that in a little while. But anyway, we form a multi-member LLC because it's the simplest of all forms. It's you put money in, you take money out. There's no salary requirements. It's just basically, it's very simple. However, what we advise our clients to do, start off as a partnership. And when you get your trading down pat, when you've got secure income coming in, you know what's going on, and everything is really, I mean, you've got some solid income coming in, then we make the election to be treated as an S corporation. Now, one of the bad things about S corporations is the officers are required to pay themselves a salary. That means W-2s, that means withholding reports, all that stuff. So you probably need a payroll company. So you're starting to see dollar signs starting to come up. That's one of the requirements with an S corp. But one of the problems that you have in trading is all of the trading income is investment income, and you cannot use investment income for retirement. I can make $5 million in capital gains next year, and I can't use a dime of it in retirement because it's not earned income. Only earned income can be used. So when you talk about the partnership LLC, you can't use any of that as far as your gains and your losses or your gains. You can't use that for retirement. However, when we go to the S corp and you start paying that salary is now earned income, and we can start using that based on that salary. You can defer some of that salary into a 401k or a SEP IRA, whatever. I'm just going to use 401k as a generic term. You can defer some of that, and then the company can match up to 25% of your salary. So now you've got the extra deductions for the deferred retirement, 401k. Then there's medical expenses, things like that. So, but you have to get secure income. You have to have solid income before you take that step to the S corporation, or else it's just going to fall apart on you. So we recommend going to the partnership first and then choosing later on when we know things are secure. Number three, once you get the trading off your personal tax return, you will enjoy a reduction in IRS scrutiny. You get rid of the Schedule C, and you don't have you lessen that that audit risk, if you will. Now, let me talk about how this works with partnerships and, frankly, with S corporations. Those are what are called pass-through entities. which means everything passes back to your personal tax return to be taxed. The partnership and the S-Corp don't pay income taxes at all, not on the federal level. Some states, we'll get into that. So on the federal level, partnerships and S-Corps don't pay income taxes. Everything passes back to your personal tax return where the tax is paid. Now, how is that different than the other way? Well, if you're trading as an individual, you have to use that Schedule C. That Schedule C is the problem. When you form a partnership or an S-Corp, everything goes back to the Schedule E. And the Schedule E is not nearly audited because that information has already gone to the IRS. They already have a record of it. So what's going on your personal return has now been already reported to the IRS. So it's nothing really big there. So you make your personal return less auditable. So that is certainly a benefit. Number four, home office deduction. I mentioned a little bit ago that if you take the home office deduction on your Schedule C, if you're doing this on your personal return, you have some limitations. There are a lot of limitations there, and you're not going to get the full benefit of your home office deduction. That is not true when you form a partnership or a multi-member LLC. You get the full benefits. It doesn't matter how much you make or how much you lose, you still get the full home office deduction. So we still take off a percentage of mortgage interest, real estate taxes, or rent, insurance, a percentage of your internet, your electricity, and all that stuff. And it doesn't matter. There's no limitations there. So now you've increased the amount of how much you can deduct on the return. So that's definitely a benefit. And I want you to hang on to that one because we'll kind of come back to that. Number five, it solves the W-2 trading issue. I mentioned a little bit ago that if you have a W-2 job and you try to be a full-time trader or even a part-time trader, the IRS has a conflict with it. However, if you're working a full-time job and then you move the trading off into a partnership LLC, then at that point, the IRS doesn't care because it looks like you're investing in a business. So that really solves that issue. And there's one more here that this solves. Now I have to explain the nomenclature here. It solves the mark-to-market long-term, short-term dilemma. Now, let me briefly tell you about that. For the stocks and options traders, you can make the mark-to-market election. And we will talk about that here in a little bit. You do not want long-term securities under mark-to-market. If you're holding things and you want to hold it for 20 years, that's fine. But if you make the mark-to-market election personally, then the IRS is going to try to apply that to everything, including your long-term holdings. So what we generally do is we set up the LLC and we put all the short-term trading into the LLC with the mark-to-market election and keep your long-term holdings on the personal side. So that way they stay away from the mark-to-market election and you don't have to worry about that. So several different problems that this alleviates. Now, here's a surprise to some people. The tax savings can pay for your member LLC. That one's hard to believe, but the refund that you get by deducting the expenses on this multi-member LLC, that refund can often pay for the extra LLC expenses. So here's what I mean. You can get the government to pay for your LLC. If you already have yearly trading expenses, the refund you get from deducting those expenses could pay for the yearly LLC fee and the tax prep fee. Excuse me. And then some states, you don't even have a yearly fee. So it's just the tax prep fee. And I'm going to give you an example here. Matter of fact, I'm going to give it to you right now of what I'm talking about. Let's assume a person lives in Illinois. And I just chose that. It's not nothing specific. The yearly LLC in Illinois is $75 per year. So every year, an LLC in Illinois has to cough up $75 to remain licensed with the state. And the tax prep fee, let's just say, is $600 per year. You might find it cheaper, you might find it more expensive, whatever. We're just going to use that right now. So that's extra expenses of $675 per year. And a lot of clients say, well, I don't want to set up an LLC. I don't want all those extra expenses. Okay. Well, in this case, it's $675 in extra expenses. Now, let's assume the person's in the 35% federal tax bracket and Illinois has a flat 4.95% tax rate. So a total tax, effective tax rate of 39.95%. This person needs at least $1,015 in trading expenses to get the government to pay for the LLC. In other words, this person, if they can just get an extra $1,015 in trading expenses, the refund that they get from that $1,015 will pay for the LLC. Period. Let me show you why. Here's my proof. So recall our traders got $675 in LLC expenses, and they've got a tax rate of 39.95%. We calculated if there's an additional $1,015. Now, remember I talked about the home office deduction? If your home office deduction alone is worth that, we're taking a percentage of your office space, of your mortgage interest, your real estate taxes, your insurance, rent, whatever you've got going into the house. We take a percentage of that. If you can come up with $1,015 extra, you've got your LLC paid for. So here's the proof. Total deductible expenses, you got your LLC fee of $75 and your tax prep fee of $600. Those are your extra fees. And then we add to it, let's say the home office deduction could be something else. It doesn't really matter. But that's a total deduction of $1,690 right there. We're deducting that on a tax return. Well, if you take that $1,690, the expenses that we've got, and you multiply it by the tax rate of 39.95%, you have $675. You're going to get $675 back from the governments to pay for your LLC. And if you have more expenses than that $1,015, the LLC pays for itself. So that is a very important consideration right there. You can get the LLC to pay for itself. You get rid of the government scrutiny that way. And there's all kinds of benefits from doing that. So I would encourage you to definitely to check that out. But that's, again, you need to get with a professional and talk about this to make sure things are right for you, put it that way. All right. Now, the previous two things, trader tax status, as well as the entities, that applies to any investor. So if you got a friend that's a Forex investor, it applies to them, or a cryptocurrency, whatever. Now we're going to confine ourselves to stock and options traders. The mark-to-market election only works for them. Any person and any business can make the election, provide the trader tax status qualifications are met. This is one of the reasons I led with trader tax status. Those three qualifications of 720 trades per year and trading in 75% of the trading days per year and 500 hours of trading, research, and education. If you meet those qualifications, and you can also make the mark-to-market election, you have to be able to eligible for trader tax status first, but then you can make the mark-to-market election. Now, what does this do? This election eliminates wash sale losses, and you end up paying taxes on exactly what you want. Now, for those of you who have been trading for a while, you're familiar with wash sales, I'm sure. Those are deferred losses. Briefly, if you have a security or stock or option, and you sell it at a loss, and then you buy the same ticker symbol, it can be anything, different strike price, different expiration date, doesn't matter. If you buy it back under that same ticker symbol within 30 days, that loss from the first sale moves to the second one. Now, that doesn't sound like much, but you have to realize that that loss just moved in time. Now, if you're rapidly trading, you've got all these losses moving in time closer and closer to December 31st. And eventually those losses cross over into the next year. And now, well, you may have lost money, let's say in 2023, but because of those deferred losses, you end up paying taxes on stuff you actually lost money on, hoping to get the losses the next year. It's really not a fair system the way it's currently structured. It's nuts. And I won't go into why and all that, but it's really crazy. The mark-to-market election, it eliminates all that crap. Basically, you take your portfolio value at the beginning of the year and your portfolio value at the end of the year, and you subtract them. And if your account goes up, that's what you pay tax on. If your account goes down, that's what you write off. It's actually a very simple concept. We have to adjust for contributions and distributions and interest dividends, stuff like that. But it's really a simple concept. You end up paying tax on what you actually earn. None of this deferred loss stuff. The other thing here that's a problem that mark-to-market gets around is, under normal accounting, if you lose money in a year, let's say your net loss, let's say I'm trading and I add all my gains and losses together, and let's say I lost $20,000 in 2023. Under normal accounting rules, I can only write off $3,000 this year. and the remaining $17,000 would have to get carried forward into 2020. With mark-to-market, you write off everything you lose. And I've done some tax returns this year. I've written off $500,000, $200,000 in losses. Nobody wants to lose all that money, certainly, but it can be done. And certainly the idea is to get as much tax refund back so you can take that money and put it back into investing so you can get going again. So the idea is there's no deferred losses here. You actually pay tax or deduct from your tax return what was actually done in your account. None of this funny business. Now, this is an election, unlike trader tax status, which is a choice, and you just do trader tax status. Mark-to-market is an election you have to make with the IRS. For individuals and for existing entities, as in like they were formed in 2022 or before, you have to make the mark-to-market election at the beginning of the year. So the next opportunity to make it for you personally, or for an existing entity that started in 2022 or before, you would have to make that election in the beginning of 2024, and it would start for 2024. There is no retroactive stuff here. So for your next window of opportunity is 2020. However, there is a loophole. A brand new entity can elect mark-to-market immediately. So for example, let's say you go create an entity, a multi-member LLC that we were talking about a little bit ago, and you set it up and we get all the state's approval and stuff like that. And here we are in September. Let's say we get it all set up by September 30th. We get our brokerage account set up for the business, things like that. We got our cash moved over. We can start trading, let's say October 1st, under mark-to-market. And the election for that technically doesn't have to be in till the first tax return of the entity, we March 15th the next year. So that actually produces a double-edged, I don't want to say a sword because it's not a bad thing. You get two great benefits out of this. The first benefit is you can start trading in mark-to-market before the end of this year. You can be doing it in the next month. The second benefit is if you have your personal account that you've been trading in and you've accumulated all these wash sales, and now you take that personal account, all the assets there, and you move your cash over into the LLC, your personal account goes dormant. You're not trading. And after 30 days of not trading, those wash sales that you've accumulated in 2023 all become regular losses. So you can still avoid the wash sale rule for the entire 2023. You'll just do it on part on your personal side and part of it on the LLC side. But it has to be done before the beginning of December, because a 30-day rule has to have time to kick in. So there's lots of good things here that can happen when you form an entity. So let's kind of summarize this. Trader tax status, it allows you to deduct trading expenses if you qualify. Forming a multi-member LLC provides asset protection, decreased audit scrutiny, and it could be free. You could get the government to pay for it. There's also another gray here area here that I have not mentioned, and this is my personal opinion, so I'm just giving it to you this way. The trader tax status rules in an LLC, a multi-member LLC or an S-Corp, tend to get relaxed a little bit. Now, we don't have any documentation on that, but if you go look at all the trader tax status stuff, it seems to apply to individuals and not to entities that are off tax personal tax return. So that could be another benefit. And then finally, the mark-to-market election allows stocks and options traders to pay tax on what was really earned or to write off exactly what was lost. None of this deferred loss stuff. And you get double bonuses by being able to get mark-to-market still this year. Also allow your personal account to go dormant and get those wash sales to go away for this year. So there's a lot of good things that can still happen. It is not too late to form an LLC. So I'm going to come back to our contact information, and then I'm going to also answer questions here. I know some of you have already put some things into the chat room. Again, our web link there, feel free to click on that, copy that. I did put that in the chat. So click on that, get that free ebook and download that. That's got a lot of information in there. The phone number, 800-938-9513. Now, That phone number actually could be very important if you want to use our services. You don't have to, there's no obligation here. But again, we do set these entities up for people. So if you want an entity, we can certainly set that up. I've seen them set up very quickly in a lot of cases. We can make the mark-to-market election for you. We can do your tax return. To make it even more audit-proof, we can do bookkeeping for you and do have a monthly bookkeeping service. We do consulting. If you don't want to use our services, but you do want to talk to us and get advice, you can call us up and set up an appointment for the consultation as well. And then, of course, our email is learn@tradersaccounting.com. Now, let me add something to here. I mentioned, well, let me go ahead and start with the question before I do that. Does an LLC partnership, you may have to include a partner? And the answer to yes. And I wanted to get this question out because this is exactly where I was going to go with it. You have to have a partner. Now, some of you are saying, oh, well, I don't have a partner. Not the end of the world. First of all, you could, and some of our clients, if when they don't have a partner, they get a family member just to take 1%. Now, 1% of a business, quite frankly, is nothing. I mean, it's very little. So that is possible if you want to do that. You say, well, I don't have a family member. Okay. You can set up what's called an irrevocable trust that on paper gets 1% of the profits of the company. So you make, $10,000, the trust on paper gets $100 of that. Now, you don't have to put the money in there until something happens to you, but that irrevocable trust can be the second partner. A more complicated option is we could set up a single member LLC and a multi-member LLC. You own the single member LLC, and the single member LLC could be the second partner in a multi-member LLC. There's a lot of ways to do this. We can get it done. If you already have an existing business, let's say you already own an S corp or a C corp or even another partnership or a single member LLC, those can be your second partner. So there's a ton of ways to get this done, even if you don't have another person that you can rely upon. What happens to a multi-member LLC if you relocate to another state? Oh, that's a really good question, and we've encountered this in several instances, particularly this year for whatever reason. When you set up an LLC, it's really a state creation, and then you register with the IRS and all that. So let's suppose that I'm in Florida. And I want to relocate to Texas. So I originally set up my LLC in Florida. And I've got my EIN from the IRS. Let's say I'm an S corporation. I've elected S corp status. If I go to Texas, now I would have to dissolve the Florida LLC. But if I go to Texas and reopen in Texas under exactly the same name, then I can keep all the federal stuff the same. So I've just moved location. So it does involve dissolving with the state that you're in, and then we're in, and then setting up with the state you're going to. But if you set up under the same name, you can keep the federal stuff exactly the same. Same EIN, same name. You just change the address, and so that works out really well there. Let me address one other situation here. A lot of people say, "Well, what if I?" Can I open up an LLC in another state and then from where I live? Let's say I live in California and I don't want to pay the $800 a year fee, so I'm going to open up an LLC in Nevada. Well, the problem is that if you start a Nevada LLC in that case, and then you do run the business in California and California finds out, you're going to be in a whole heap of trouble. The California is going to require you to register as a foreign entity. And so now you got the $800 fee anyway. So it's best to avoid all the complications with the states to set up in the state where you're actually living. And that just avoids all kinds of complications. Let's see. Can I convert a single member LLC to a multi-member LLC if I've already filed it with the state? Generally speaking, yes. Now you would need to get in contact with the Secretary of State office. It's possible in some states when you form an LLC, you do not have to let them know it's a single member or a multi-member. It's an LLC. And so at that point, you can convert it into a multi-member anytime. Some states do require you to actually specify who the owners are. In that case, you would need to file documentation with the state, recategorizing it from a single member to a multi-member. There's probably a fee attached to that, but it's just a matter of changing the documentation with the state. There shouldn't be anything to do with the IRS, except now you file a partnership return instead of the Schedule C. Oops, let me go ahead and just stop the sharing here. excuse me. And I lost my chat. Where'd my chat go? Okay. Question. I live in the UK. What can I do? Because I live in the UK. I'm assuming that you're paying US taxes, Peter. So if you're paying US taxes, you would need to form an entity in a state, and then run it that way. And then you could probably do it. So you need some type of an address, and I would choose a tax-free state like Florida or Texas or Tennessee or something like that, where you don't have to pay state taxes, and you're probably paying federal taxes anyway. So just run an LLC that way, and you should be good to go. Okay. Anybody else have any questions? I think I've run out of questions that everybody's got, but I certainly want to answer this question. And certainly, if you have more questions, give us a call and set up a consulting session, and we'll be happy to talk to you. So I do not see any more questions coming across. So, David, are you about ready to take it back over?